Hannah Murray on TRE in the afternoon.
Good afternoon. Joining us on the line now is Annika Pavel, who is telling us her story about how she went from being a nanny to a fashion model to a Playboy bunny to a Bond girl and moving from London to Hong Kong to the USA. Her book tells her fascinating story. It's called Encounter with the Future. Welcome to the show, Annika.
Thank you, and thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thank you for being with us. So take us back to when you were 18, if you can, when you had to leave Czechoslovakia and came to England to be an au pair. What was that moment like?
Well, when I was 18, I graduated from high school. And of course, as most teenagers, I dreamed about traveling, especially when we have been locked up in a communist country where you couldn't travel even to Hungary. Everybody was dreaming about traveling. And just about that time, Alexander Dubček was coming to power. And so unbeknownst to me, I went ahead and applied for a visa, not knowing what was happening. And so when I received my visa, I was ecstatic, and people just could not believe it because nobody traveled, not to England, not to any Western countries. Maybe you squeezed to go to Poland or Hungary, but certainly not to London. And so that's how I got into London, and I got a job which was supposed to be au pair, but it really wasn't. But it, to me, didn't matter because all it mattered to me was that I was able to come to England and learn a language and learn about totally different life.
Yeah, so I'm guessing you were adapted to life in England pretty quickly, did you?
Yes, I did. As soon as I learned to speak English, I immediately fell in love with England, and people were incredibly kind and helpful. So, yes. Most wonderful memories. And of course, when August came, 23rd of August, and Soviet Union invaded Czechoslovakia, I find myself stranded in England. And that's when the British people were really kind. Everyone was helpful and understanding and wanted to help. That was the first question. How can I help?
Oh, that's so nice. So did you leave family and friends behind in Czechoslovakia?
Yes. Well, all of my friends, most of them returned back to Czechoslovakia after the order was posted. For a little while, we were kind of in a limbo because the Soviet Union didn't really tighten the noose instantly. But little by little, we got the order and everybody had to return home, and my whole family was home, my parents and my two brothers. But I was in England by then 2 years, and I just didn't think I could live that life again. And so I stayed in London. It wasn't easy. There was a complications, but I somehow, with a bit of luck and perseverance, I managed to stay in England and became successful.
So tell us about your time as a working as a model and a Playboy bunny. That must have been fun, was it?
Yeah, it was a great fun. Well, I owe it all to Daily Mail because they had a competition to find an international model, and I was one of the lucky ones. They wanted 10 girls.
Wow.
And out of 800, I was one of the 10 girls who was selected, and that really opened the door to modeling world. And but you know, modeling is feast or famine, and so given that my mother was battling cancer and my family needed my help, and also there was no one for me to lean on or to help me if I got into difficulties, and so I supplemented my modeling work with working as a bunny. I first worked as a waitress in a number of restaurants, but, you know, waitressing is very hard work and it's not very well paid. And so I've realized that I could work half the amount of time and make double the amount of money if I was in Playboy. And at the time, a lot of actors, beginners, you know, actors and singers and in a various parts of, you know, choreographers, for example, people who work in a show business, work in a Playboy club. You know, there are some famous actresses, you know, Blondie was a bunny girl and, you know, yeah. Susan Sarandon was a bunny girl. So a lot of beginners find that it worked for both sides. They wanted pretty girls, and the pretty girls needed to supplement their wages. And so they paid the girls well. And also, like, for example, I went for a trip to promote the British industry, and we went to Singapore, Hong Kong, and to Japan. And I was able to take 3 weeks off, no questions asked, and come back and work immediately. And when my mother was sick, I went to Czechoslovakia for 6 weeks to help out. And of course, obviously, I was, by that time I came back, I was broke, but I had instant income in Playboy. And for that, I will always be grateful.
Yeah. So they treated you well then. It was a good job to have.
It was a good job to have. You know, I'm sure that, you know, there are instances that maybe some people might not agree with, but yeah. for the average bunny, it was a fantastic job for a lot of people in show business.
Mm. No, fair enough. Well, that's good that you had a good experience. And then how did the acting come about? I mean, with Roger Moore in The Spy Who Loved Me, that's amazing.
Well, I mean, it's as you start modeling, from modeling it, you know, I started to get casting for TV commercials. I did more than 50 TV commercials for England and from all over the world. And so the casting people get to know you, and then you start having a little part at a TV shows. You know, I worked with Stu Ronis and Frankie Howard and Dick Emery. And then I got a nice speaking part with Benny Hill, which was incredibly popular. And so the my name to kind of got around. And so I got cast for an audition for James Bond. And then that's how I got into James Bond.
Gosh, and what was the experience like working on the film?
Oh, it was fantastic. What I like about the franchise of Bond, people are treated equally. It really didn't matter whether you were a star or you were a big player. Everyone was treated the same, whether when you went to makeup or when you went on a set. I remember one lighting man said to me, you know, you should always make a friend with a lighting man because they can make you look great and they can make you look bad.
That's a great tip.
I made sure that I brought in a cup of coffee every morning.
Oh, nice one. So,
but everyone was, it was great. It was a very... a friendly atmosphere. I did meet Roger Moore in New York when there was a 50th anniversary of James Bond. And he couldn't have been nicer. And I couldn't believe he actually remembered it. Remember me from the shoot, but I guess it's the accent, you know, people remember that. But it was wonderful. And, you know, we had some photos taken and I enjoyed it.
Oh, that's so lovely you met all those years later. How nice.
Yes.
And what have you been up to since? Obviously, you had a family, and was your career kind of on hold a bit while you raised a family?
Yes. You know, I did a little bit of modeling in Boston, and I did some modeling in Hong Kong. And but it wasn't quite the same as when you are working, because I started to have children. And then when I went to America, I had 3 children. So I've really dedicated myself to raising money, you know, as a volunteer for charity. And I raised a lot of money for Jersey battered women and for children with cancer. And I raised almost $2 million for brain tumor at Duke University. My neighbor was diagnosed with glioblastoma. And so I organized the golf tournaments and we raised a lot of money. And when we did those events, I had to write newspaper clippings, you know, advertising, and then also summary of our events. And I suddenly realized I have always wanted to be a writer. I wanted to be a journalist, but I started to write. And then I adopted a dog from shelter. And he was the most beautiful dog. And I was looking at him and I thought, who would give him up and why? And I started to write down my thoughts. And that's how I got back to writing. Then I went back to school. I took evening classes at NYU and I started to write short stories. And as the short stories got published, and one of them got actually nominated for Pushcart Prize, which is a big honor. And so friends said to me, why don't you put it together? It will be a memory for your children and your grandchildren. And then, you know, as more people saw it, they said, you know what, you should do this. You should, this would be a great book to, for a lot of people to read. It's sort of a time in a history. And then when Russia invaded Ukraine, I thought, here we go. Once again, this is history is repeating itself. Mm-hmm. It is important that I will remind people this has happened before. Yeah. It has happened in 1956 in Hungary, 68 in Czechoslovakia, and 2022 it happened in Ukraine. So, you know, we have to remember those events. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. So did you enjoy the process of writing the book? Was it difficult at times? Obviously, with such an interesting life, you've had some amazing moments, but also, of course, some sad ones too.
Yeah, I did enjoy writing it. It was, but when you write it, you kind of remember it and you relive it, but you know, as a writer, you're always, especially as a writer with an accent and I wrote in English. So it's, you know, I had to have my dictionary next to me and thank God for spell check. And so, but, you know, there was half of me was always concentrating that it sounded correct, not in my, just in my head, but correct to other people. And so it really wasn't until the book got published and I finally read the book full as it was. And that was the first time I actually teared up and I thought, oh my God, this was awful. Mm. So it's funny how you, when you go through it, you cannot afford to allow yourself to process it as much as you otherwise would.
Yeah.
Because you just have to move on. You have to survive and you have to, you know, tomorrow is another day and you have to deal with that.
Mm. Well, it's incredibly impressive that you've written this book that isn't in your first language. There are plenty of people who struggle to write a book in their first language. So well done you. It's an amazing achievement.
Thank you.
And I have to ask you about the title, Encounter with the Future. Where does that come from?
That came from one of the essays. And it was my father came to visit me and we missed each other because at that time in Victoria Station, the trains from, he didn't fly, the trains were coming, that came from continent, came to a different part of Victoria Station than the local trains, the UK trains. And so my father kind of went, he had to get off in Dover and then he took a wrong train. So he arrived at a local part of the Victoria, and I was at the continent part of it. So we missed each other. And my father grew up when Slovakia was still under the Austro-Hungarian Empire, and he had to learn Hungarian. And it was literally beat into him when he was a child, and he hasn't spoken to him. And then he met how he actually managed to get to me, that he met some Hungarians and he was able to communicate. And so he told me that we have to think about the future. It was a past that helped him to get into a future. And so he encountered the future on a Victoria Railway Station by shedding his past pain of the beatings he got from the Hungarian when he was a child. And so he met his future there with the different kind of Hungarian people.
Mm, wow.
So that's And then I thought about it and I thought, really, my whole story was I encountered the future. I came along with a suitcase and a dictionary and I had to encounter the future. And then the tanks came to Prague. I had to encounter that future. So each part of my life, I was encountering something else in my life that was a future.
Mm. And do you ever go back home? Have you returned to your home country over the years?
Oh, yes, I do. I mean, as long my brother was alive, I used to go reasonably often and visit him. But my brother passed away. So since then, I'm ashamed to say last time I was there was at his funeral. But I'm planning to come within a year because now my children want to go and they want me to be the translator and they have children. So I'll come with my children and grandchildren and show them the castles and the beauty of the country.
Yeah. Oh, lovely. Well, if people want to get a copy of your book, it's called Encounter with the Future. It's by Annika Pavel, who we've been chatting with today. And the book is available on our website, tre.radio. Annika, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.